Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. We are in week 4 of our series, Forged in Fire, and we're looking at the story of Daniel, and every week we've been seeing a similar pattern of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, dreaming something or doing something, and then Daniel enters the story to save the day, interpret the dream, or to put up opposition to what the king is doing, and then the king coming to see Daniel and his God. But every story, we have this pattern. The king doing something, Daniel responding. King doing something, Daniel responding. And this represents something that's happening over and over and over in our lives. That the call to be a Christian, the choice to be a Christian, to follow the Lord, is a choice that we are doing every moment of every day. In every interaction that we are having with people, we have a choice. How am I going to deal with this person? How am I going to react with this person? What are the thoughts that come to my mind? What are the words that I am going to say? There is a choice in every moment of every day whether we are going to let the selfishness in us reign, the King Nebuchadnezzar reign, or are we going to listen to Daniel? Are we going to bring in our conscience? Are we going to bring in the truths that the Lord teaches us into this situation? So the walk that the Lord calls us to, the path that the Lord calls us to, is a path of continually choosing the Lord, continually choosing heaven. That is the path of the Christian walk. If someone convinced you to become a Christian because the path was easy, then you were misinformed. The true Christian walk is difficult, because the true Christian walk is one that you walk every day in sadness and in joy, in good times and in bad. We are choosing how we respond to the world, how we respond to people. So today we continue the story of Daniel, and we see yet another story, something happening with the king and Daniel coming in to save the day. The story is about a big tree. Now, before I read the story, I want to explain some of the meaning within the story. The new church offers insight into what the Bible is saying, but insight into not just a moral understanding of the Bible, but a spiritual understanding. What does this story have to do with my life? Because the Bible is not just a history of a people. It's a story about each one of us. It's a story about the battles that each one of us face, the things that we have to overcome. So the story of Daniel that we're going to read today starts off with this image of a tree. A tree represents us, an individual. Think of the song, "The trees of the field clap their hands." That's from the Psalms. We are the trees in the field. Whenever a tree is mentioned, it's got something to do with our life and our mind, our spiritual mind, how we are seeing the Lord, how we are seeing the world, how we're seeing ourselves. We will hear about birds. Birds represent the thoughts in our minds. If we think about thoughts, thoughts flow in and out of our minds, and we sort of don't really have much control, just like birds flying in and out of our sight. So thoughts fly around in our minds. So we hear about birds. Think about the thoughts. We hear about animals. Animals represent the loves that we have and the loves that we draw to ourselves and that become ours and that give us life. And the tree that bears fruit are the things that we do, the outward expression of the life that is within. The Lord asks us to bear fruit, to bear good fruit, which is love towards the neighbor. But the fruit in this story is questionable. So this image of the tree is a big image. And let's read our story today. You can follow along in your pew card. I'm going to read the story in sections. So it's from Daniel 4. So what has happened? The king has now had another dream. And this is the dream. He's describing the dream to Daniel. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. And its height was great. And the tree grew and became strong, and its height reached to the heavens. And it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. So it was a huge tree. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field around shaded under it, and the birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I want to stop there. So here we have this enormous tree. Sort of, if you're standing in front of it, it would take up your whole view. That was all you could see would be this tree with birds and with beasts and with fruit. But whose dream is this? This is King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And he represents that selfish part of us, that one part of us that wants things our way, that wants to rule this world, that wants fame, that wants material things, that lusts after things of this world. That's King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he's seeing this tree, and to him, it looks beautiful. To him, it looks perfect. That relates back to our lives. How often do we look at our lives, and our lives are great? How many of us look at our lives and see things from our perspective always? So if there is anger in my life, or that person has made me angry, or that traffic makes me angry, or right, things, it's out there that's the problem. Or we are having a fight with someone, and we are right, and they are wrong. Okay, right? Our picture is perfect. It's okay for me to get angry, and it's okay for me to be judgmental. It's okay for me to be critical. It's okay for me to want to control this situation. Our tree is beautiful. Well, that's how we see our life. That's the selfish perspective in us, looking at our lives, saying, there is nothing wrong with me. Other people are wrong. I am always right. They just don't understand. They just can't see things the way I see it. But the story doesn't end there. Let's carry on our reading from verse 13. I saw in the vision of my head while on my bed that there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. That's the Lord. He cried out and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. So the Lord is calling for the destruction of this tree. Okay, this tree is our life. This perspective that we have on our life, where everything is perfectly our way and our thoughts are perfect for how we see things, and the loves in our lives, the beasts, are all under the shade of this tree, all gathered together in support of this way of life. And the Lord says, cut it down. Cut that down. Cut down that selfishness in your life. We were talking to the kids. The Lord wants us to turn to Him. But the selfishness, our need for control, our judgmental and critical attitudes keep us in the evil, keep us in the selfishness. And we can't follow the Lord if we're stuck in the selfishness. the evil spirits around us, and we spoke about that last week, love to keep us in this horrible place. It appears good to us, but really it is destroying our lives. It is destroying the lives of other people. But the hells want to keep us there. And in a sense, they are taking away our freedom. Because when you are an evil, when you're selfish, you can't see love. When you're selfish, you can't see the truth about your own life. Right? Other people might say something about your attitude, and you think, well, that's their problem. That's not mine. Right? We can't see the truth when we are in the selfish state. Other people have problems, not us. So we're stuck in these false ideas, in these false loves, in these hurtful things, not being able to see other people, not being able to love other people. And the Lord says, cut it down. The fact about our spiritual life is we cannot turn to the Lord unless that selfishness has been cut down. Now, if we think about our lives, there are things and moments in our lives, experiences that we have in life that cut us down, that put us in our place, that where we realize we're not the center of the universe. We make mistakes. And they normally very hard lessons or very hard experiences that we experience. Say, for example, losing a loved one. When we lose a loved one, there's nothing like the death of someone really close to us for us to realize how weak our physical body is. It's nothing like the death of a loved one for us to realize that we're not invincible, that we're not so great and powerful, but we're just these meek animals roaming on this earth. There are moments that cut us down. Perhaps there is a relationship that is close to us that fails drastically. Right? And it cuts us and it hurts us. And in that moment when we're feeling down, there is an opportunity. It's in the moments of being cut down that the Lord is able to touch our lives. If we think of addicts, someone who is addicted to something, could be drugs, alcohol, sex, or any other number of things in life. That addict can only really receive help when they hit their rock bottom, when their life has been cut right the way down, that they don't see any other way, that they start to see the mistakes that they've made. There is an opportunity for change. But they've got to hit that rock bottom. Their tree has got to be cut down. Their addiction tree has got to be cut down in order for them to start the path of a new life. But we are also addicted. Each one of us is addicted. We're addicted to anger. We're addicted to impatience. We're addicted to criticism. We're addicted to reward. We're addicted to the sense of always being right. We're addicted to control. We're addicted to lusts of things in this world. We are all addicts. We are all addicts in different ways where something in our life rules our life. Where all we can see is our perspective on things. That lust has to be cut down. That anger has to be cut down. But it normally happens, the cutting down happens through hardship. The cutting down happens through hardship. Talking about the life of a Christian is not an easy path. It's not a straight path. We go through life and the Lord gives us the freedom to choose to do what we feel is right, to choose our own way, and we are allowed to walk in that way for as long or as far as we want. But at some point, if it's not in the Lord's way, if it's according to a selfishness, there will be a moment in our life where we are cut down, where we realize that this thing in my life is causing me pain, when we realize that anger is causing not just other people pain, but it's causing me pain, where we realize that judging other people is destroying them and it's destroying me. We're allowed to walk the path that we choose. But at some point in life, their consequences of that choice will catch up with us. The Lord doesn't want us to be hurt, but the Lord has to protect our freedom, and in life, we are hurt. But in that moment of being cut down, where we realize this relationship is almost gone, or my life is struggling, in that moment where we have been cut down, there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity. The Lord describes it this way. Read from verse 15. Nevertheless, leave the stump and root in the earth. The Lord's not saying we're going to destroy your whole life. Something remains, bound, protected with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. So there's this lovely image that after this tree is cut down and everything is stripped away, that there is still something remaining. Something that is protected. Something that is got grass. Something that is wet by the dew of heaven. And that's our life. No matter how far down we think we've gone, no matter how bad the mistake is that we think we've made, there is always a root. There is always a stump. There is always a new start that's possible in your life. A new start that is protected by iron and bronze. The iron represents the simple true ideas that we have from the Lord's word. And the bronze represents those true good things that we know to be right. And the tender grass are those experiences that we have of loving other people. If we think about a child doesn't know how to read or write, or doesn't even need to know the stories of the Lord's word to know what it feels like to be loved. Those simple things are with us. We know what we should be doing. Deep down, that stump, that core of who we are, knows the simple things that we need to do, knows how to respect one another, knows how to be obedient. There are simple things that the Lord leaves us with and blesses from heaven. But we've still got to make the choice. There is still a choice. There is an opportunity for us to make a new choice. The story continues. Let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let seven times pass over him. The heart of a beast. Heart of a beast. It says, let us be given the heart of a beast. The heart of a beast, if we think in comparison to the heart of a man, the heart of a human, is to be free, is to have that freedom to choose according to our reason how we're going to act. That's what it is to be human, right? The freedom to choose how we're going to live. An animal cannot choose. An animal is pre-programmed, as it were. Animal has a set instinct in it. A bird knows how to be a bird. A cow knows how to be a cow. A sheep knows how to be a sheep. They have no choice about it. When we are cut down, one of the things that we are able to see is that our heart, if we have been in a selfish state, we can see that our heart is that of a beast. that in that selfish state, we've been so caught up in ourselves that we couldn't see the truth. We couldn't see that we were destroying other people's lives. We couldn't see that we were destroying our own lives. There was no choice in it. As I was talking to the children, the evil spirits want to keep us in that selfishness and take away our freedom. The Lord gives freedom. Evils take that away. The Lord wants to give a heart of man. The evil spirits want to give us a heart of a beast, where we aren't free anymore. We're stuck in the evils, in our ways, in our lies, in our vanity, in our criticism. They want us to stay there. But we've got to see. We've got to understand. We've got to know that we have this heart in us. We've got to see our mistakes before change is possible. The heart of a beast. We've got to realize and acknowledge when I'm in the state of the heart of a beast. I want to jump now to verse 34. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lived forever. So there's a turning that is possible. When we're in that dark state, when we realize the awful person that we have been, there is a choice. There is an opportunity for us to turn to the Lord, to open up our eyes, to see a new way, to follow those simple things that the Lord has given us, to be obedient to the Lord, and to walk a new life. That's the promise that the Lord has for us, if we will turn to Him. I want to read, just jump back to the verse before that, 27. This was the advice that Daniel gave to him. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. So this is the choice that we have to make. I now can see that I have this evil in my life. I can see that I am being ruled over by whatever it is, anger, control, negativity. And I can see the Lord. I can see heaven. I can see what the Lord is teaching. And now I have a choice. Am I going to leave behind the old and take on the new? Or am I going to stay in the old? The choice is ours. We are free to choose either. The Lord's not going to stop you from going back into the anger. But we have in that moment an opportunity to choose. I can see clearly now where I've gone wrong, and I can see clearly now the path that the Lord is calling me to. Which are we going to choose? Daniel says, leave behind. Our conscience says to us, leave behind. The Lord's word says to us, leave behind that evil. It's trying to pull you down. Do what is right. Do what is loving. Our song today that we sung, one of our opening songs, was I'm trying to remember how it starts. Oh man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly in the way. That's what the Lord is calling us to. That's what Daniel is saying to the king. Leave behind that old and take on the new. Do what you know to be right. Right? Practice loving other people. This is walking in the Lord's way. I want to read now teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew card. So this is describing what we've been talking about. The Lord cannot fully lead evil people. Okay, that's us. Don't think that this is talking about anybody else. This is talking about us, right? I am an evil person when I am in anger. Okay? The Lord cannot lead me, that evil person, away from my evil and guide them in what is good, as long as they believe that their own intelligence is everything, right? And that divine providence is nothing, or the divine providence, the Lord's guiding. It seems as though we can lead ourselves away from evil if only we think that it is against the common good, impractical, and against national and international laws. Right? So that's how we think. If I'm in evil, I can easily turn myself away from it. However, we still cannot lead ourselves away from evil when our volition, our will, when our will is devoted to evil, our own intelligence sees nothing but falsity. The hells hold us in that falsity. They hold us in that evil. They won't let us see anything else. They won't let us turn around to see anything. It neither wants to see anything else nor is able to. If our own intelligence does see anything true at such times, it either turns away or falsifies it. Right? So if a friend comes to us and says, Mark, you're being nasty. If I've got my tree in front of me, I'm going to say, well, that's your problem. That's not mine. I am who I am, and you just got to accept that. Okay? Truth can come to us, and we can turn it away. We can dismiss it easily if we are in the state of evil. Divine providence, or the Lord is governing all things, is constantly making sure that we see what is true and giving us a desire to both appreciate it and accept it. I want to go back to the divine providence. The divine providence is constantly making sure. Life gets us down. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. Life is full of worries and anxieties. In the Lord's governing of all things, He doesn't want bad things to happen, but He uses bad things. When something bad happens, there is an opportunity. When our tree is cut down, there is an opportunity for us to see what is true. When we have been cut down, we're able to appreciate something else in our life and accept it. So the difficult things in life, the struggles that we face, the relationships that are hard, losing our jobs or going through tough times are all there, not because the Lord wills it, but because the Lord can use it to turn us back to Him. Turn us back to Him so that we can appreciate what is good and true in life and accept it. In this way, we are led from evil, not by ourselves, but by the Lord. And so the story in Daniel, this beautiful tree that needs to be cut down, is our vision of our lives. When we are in a selfish state, we see our lives as perfect, that we don't have any problems. We're not the problem in life. It's other people doing it to us, or circumstances out of our control. But the Lord says that needs to be cut down. And in the hardships of life, there is the moment. There is the moment that the Lord is using. If we will just humble ourselves in those moments of despair, in those moments of trouble, humble ourselves, turn ourselves to the Lord, and say, Lord, please help me. Lord, without You, I can do nothing. And that's how the Lord uses our lives, the difficulties, the turmoils, to turn us away from our selfishness and turn us instead towards the Lord, that He might grow within us. He might use that stump to start a new life, one that is more heavenly, one that is more loving, and there's more outward reaching to our neighbor. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, you are always with us. Even in our darkest times, even when we feel like life has cut us down, Lord, you are there. And you are using every moment of our lives to try and turn us to you. Lord, in those dark hours, in that despair, in the worry, in the anxiety, in the fear, Lord, help to turn us to you. Help raise our thoughts and our eyes to you, that we might ask for your help, that we might return once again to the simple things of life, to love, to care, to rejoice, to be grateful for the simple things. Lord, we thank you for all that you give to us every day. Lord, we thank you that you are always with us and never leaving us. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a wonderful mind, a joyous heart. And Lord, we pray that you guide us in our thinking and that you guide us in our way, that we might know when we have made mistakes and turn to you in prayer. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.